D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Adam Vingan, Brandon Bigsby, Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports, joining us for one more segment. Chase McCabe will join the program in about 20 minutes. Three different co-hosts today.
How about
in
that?
In 3 hours, look.
It's like a clown car, just in and out, everybody.
But you know what? That's what we do here.
Or maybe it's like one of those telethons where it's like, and we're going to have 17 different hosts until you all reach our fundraising goal.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, it's the summertime. Willie and Derek are on vacation. They'll be back on Monday. Connor's out today. So you know what? We got to do what we got to do to get this show to all of you on your drive home. So we're doing it. We're doing the damn thing. So rookies reported to training camp today for the Tennessee Titans. And everybody's going to be watching one rookie in particular. And, of course, that is Carnell Tate, mm-hmm. the number 4 overall pick in the NFL draft, wide receiver from The Ohio State University. And there is a recent clip going around. I'm sure you've heard it, Easton. Carnell Tate's new teammate, Alante Taylor. He was on the In the Bayou pod with Tyrann Mathieu. And Mathieu asked Alante Taylor about his early impressions of Carnell Tate. Here's what Taylor said.
I want to know, is Carnell Tate that type of athlete?
He's nice, bro. I was just a little surprised myself, like, yeah. You know, and OTAs and stuff going up against them. You know, like you said, I've been around Chris Shee, some guys, and you know, there's some plays. I'm just like, man, what?
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas, Jarvis, yeah. You feel what I'm saying? I'm going against Tate a few times. I'm like, man, what? Like, yeah. You got yeah. that in your bag? Like, right now?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Okay, that's cool. But he's gonna be really good, man. I think camp, you know, get him in the heat a little bit, getting in shoulder pads, things like that, getting into some real football stuff will also elevate, you know, that side of his game. But I think he's going to be really, really good for us. He's going to help us a lot.
High praise from Alante Taylor. Mentioned Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Michael Thomas was thrown in there, former Buckeye as well, and Olave too. Not Rashid Shaheed. Did Rashid Shaheed go to Ohio State?
No. I don't think so.
No.
My mic was muted.
Yeah, that's okay. Olave and Michael Thomas definitely did. That I know. But a lot of people, Easton, are going to be trying to put expectations on Carnell Tate. We had Nick Suss in studio yesterday. He talked about Tate and how people have compared him, including Derek Mason, have compared Carnell Tate to T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
But Suss said, if you're drafting a wide receiver, number 4 overall, you're hoping for better than T. Higgins. No disrespect to T. Higgins. Great wide receiver. But if you're going to use the number 4 overall pick on a receiver, you're hoping for more than T. Higgins.
I'm surprised he said that.
Well,
if you gave me definitely T. Higgins, I would spend the 4th overall pick on T. Higgins.
Interesting.
If it was definitely T. Higgins. If the ceiling was T. Higgins, I don't think that I would, if we were just guessing. But
so
maybe
I want
that's
you,
just me.
I want you, Easton, to finish this sentence, and I want our listeners to do so as well. 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Finish this sentence, Easton. Carnell Tate's rookie season will be considered successful if
he helps make Cam Ward seem like the franchise quarterback. I know that may sound like a cop-out answer, but everyone wanting to ascribe a statistical goal for Carnell Tate pass-fail, I just don't think that that matters as much as he and the rest of the newness around Cam Ward solidifying the Cam Ward show. If he has 1,000 yards on 75 catches, and we get to the end of the year and the vibe on Cam Ward is just like the vibe on Bryce Young was last year when Tet McMillan did that exact same stat line or somewhere in there, 1,000 yards and I don't know how many catches, a bunch of them, then we'll be happy about Carnell Tate and people are certainly in on Tet McMillan. But
Tet McMillan, 70 receptions, 1,014 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns.
Okay,
and I believe he was the offensive rookie
there.
Of the year.
He was, and I was pretty close there on the guess. We would feel good about Carnell Tate, but we wouldn't feel good about the rest of the team. If Carnell Tate has 750 yards on 45 catches, and he is Cam Ward's main man in an offense where they spread the ball out a lot and they're very balanced run versus pass. And the offense was peaking down the end of the season and heading into the offseason, like everybody's feeling good. I don't have an issue with that either. So that's why I'm not really in on the statistical thing, because people are like, well, if he only has 700 yards, then I'm not going to feel great about him. Tell me how it looks. Tell me what the usage rate is. I mean, an interesting thing about Carnell is I think a lot of people have settled on, I think Carnell's going to have the most yards, and I think Wandale's going to have the most receptions, which makes sense because the last we saw of Carnell was at Ohio State, where he had just 50 catches. And the last we've seen of Wandale, the last two seasons, he's had 90 catches in both of them. It's a ridiculous rate of volume. So we know he can handle it. Another thing that's interesting is that Cam Ward last year was top five in the league in slot target rate. Brian Daboll in his offense has been top five in the NFL in slot target rate. Wandale Robinson, is he the best 5'8" wide receiver in the entire league? He just might be. He is one of the best true slot only guys. Not that he and others would take offense to, oh, he can play some out of the slot. I'm not saying he is only a slot guy, but at 5'8", there are limitations, obviously. And he is awesome in the slot. So he is one of the better slot receivers in the league. That marriage, those stars aligning, I don't think that's bad news for Carnell Tate by any means. In fact, I think it's going to make his job easier if they have another awesome receiver. But for this, the black and white box score scouting of his stats at the end of the year, it is bad news for that in a way. Because I think that there's going to be more division of love between those two and between the rest of the offensive staff than people are maybe realizing. There's only so many yards to go around.
I'm looking back at 2024. Malik Nabers' rookie season.
Uh-huh.
He had Wandale Robinson with him. They had Brian Daboll
sure.
with them. Malik Nabers had 109 receptions on 170 targets for 1,204 yards and 7 touchdowns. Wandale Robinson, 93 receptions on 140 targets, 699 yards, 3 touchdowns. So 310 combined targets between Nabers and Robinson. Darius Slayton was next with 71.
Oh, yeah.
So do you anticipate a similar usage for Tate, Robinson, and the rest of the Titans pass catchers, as we just listed from the Giants from 2 years
Number
ago?
One, let me be clear. If your expectation for Carnell this year statistically is what Malik Nabers did in his rookie season, you are almost certainly going to be disappointed.
Okay,
that's
crazy. I stumbled upon this clip from a couple of months ago, today. TJ Houshmandzadeh said he thinks, or at least he did in April, that he thinks Carnell Tate will have a better statistical season than Malik Nabers did in his rookie year.
I'm not saying he can't. He is capable of it. But that is one of the top five rookie seasons in the last 20 years of the NFL. Like, that is such a massive outlier of a rookie season. It's astonishing. The odds are very, 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 very low, like 99-1, that level of production is coming from Carnell Tate this year, which really has more to do with, again, there only being so many targets to be had with a bunch of mouths to feed, than it has to do with Carnell Tate being limited athletically. I think he's capable of doing that. I just don't think that this offense is going to be – I don't think it's healthy for an offense to be that lopsided for a rookie receiver at all. So in terms of usage, there is more to the top two guys getting fed at a super high clip than I think a lot of people realize, because Daboll has done that for more than just that 1 year with rookie Malik Nabers. He tends to feed his top guys. And so I do think that Tate and Robinson are going to get – a very healthy 1-2 punch serving. But when you look at the rest of that Giants offense, you mentioned the next closest guy was Darius Slayton, and then a bunch of guys who, frankly, are not as good, I think, as the number 3, 4, 5, 6 option in the Titans receiving game. And so I do think it will be a little bit more balanced here, and that will be a better thing for the Titans. And if it's not as balanced, I think that tells you just as much about how useful some of those lesser targets are for the Titans as it does pumps up the guys that were getting all the targets.
Michael in Madison says, Carnell Tate's rookie year will be a success if he is a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year. By the way, odds right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, Jeremiah Love is the favorite at plus 400, followed by Fernando Mendoza at 425, Carnell Tate at 550, Jordan Tyson at plus 600. So in that case, I guess he would be a finalist.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair bet. Do not put any money on Fernando Mendoza to win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yes, if he's
not
playing.
Sure he's going to play.
Yes.
So.
ESPN's fantasy projections. The most recent fantasy projections for Carnell Tate in his rookie year. 78 receptions on 127 targets, 1,068 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Is that realistic?
It's realistic, but I do think it's on the lofty side. If you made me, just based on vibes, make my own projections, I would say something like 890 yards, 70 receptions, which is in that neighborhood. But if you go back and look at the first-round draft pick wide receivers from the – I did this article like 2 months ago, so I'm making up the numbers now. It was like the every first-round wide receiver picked in the last 10 or 15 years in the NFL, and you just do a straight-up stat chart – with their rookie seasons sorted by yardage, it's a shockingly select group of guys that get into the four digit 1,000 plus yard receiving season. Very, very select group. A lot of guys get into the 700, 800, 900s, and so that's just kind of the median outcome for guys. Especially again, if you're in an offense that's balanced and has more weapons than just you, which is a good thing for Titans fans. If Carnell Tate's the only weapon on this Titans team, I'm here to tell you it's probably going to be a really bad team. It's not going to go very well, guys.
What's interesting about Wandale Robinson in particular, we had Aaron Schatz of FTN Fantasy on the program a week ago. His football almanac, his annual football almanac is out now.
It's great.
And he had a great description of Wandale Robinson. He called him a failed reception king, which he explained, Robinson consistently leads the FTN fantasy leaderboards in catches that do not gain the necessary yardage to count as a success. He can catch a lot of balls, but he talked about he's the guy that's going to get you 3 yards on 3rd and 6.
Yep.
So, how should we calibrate our expectations for Wandale Robinson?
That's somewhat fair. Now, I will say, in Wandale's defense, last year, that average depth of target was a lot higher than it was the previous year.
Because Neighbors was out of the
right. So, 2 years ago in Neighbors' rookie season, for a lot of midseason, I remember there being multiple times we checked in on it, and it was like, his current depth of target is negative. It's behind the line of scrimmage, even though he already has 47 catches. It's a big sample size, guys. That wasn't the case last year. Now, it still wasn't very high. I forget what it was. It was only 3 or 4 or 5 yards or something. It was not big. But that is a part of it. That slot usage thing and the volume, that volume comes from being a guy that gets a bunch of dump-offs and a bunch of quick hitches and stuff that doesn't go very far. And that's fine. You need that guy on your team, but you can't live and die by that guy. You do need someone like Carnell Tate to be a chain mover.
615-737-1025. Easton, a big thank you for joining me today
on
the show.
Me.
Of course.
It's been a blast.
Always a pleasure. You can catch Easton Freeze all over A to Z Sports' YouTube page, as well as read his coverage of the Tennessee Titans at AtoZSports.com. 615-737-1025. Chase McCabe will join the program coming up next. We'll continue the Titans conversation. My question to all of you at 615-737-1025. Finish this sentence for me. Carnell Tate's rookie season will be considered successful if... ... You tell me. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan, Brandon Bigsby, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Adam Vingan here with you. A big thank you to Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports for joining me in the middle portion of the program, previewing Titans training camp, which starts next week. Rookies reported today. Now we have yet another co-host shift. First Nick Frazier, then Easton Freeze. Now the one and only Chase McCabe joins us here on DVD. Hello, Chase.
What's up, Adam? I'm feeling a little blissful after hearing that.
Connor provided the tunes, yes. So, of course, they were going to be wrestling-themed, as I told you, by the way, earlier today. We had some Friend of the Station crime on Friend of the Station crime last night at AEW when Jeff Jarrett hit Ricochet over the head with a guitar.
I love that.
It was wonderful. I think you'll be able to watch it on Saturday if you weren't there in the building. But I got a good laugh out of that, knowing that Ricochet was sitting in this chair directly to my right just a couple of days ago. Randomly, one texter says, "Hey, Adam, can you do a quick segment on your most favorable times on the Oregon Trail game, please?" Well, I can. My favorite times on the Oregon Trail were when my oxen did not drown as I attempted to cross the river, and when my family didn't die from dysentery.
Yeah, that was always good. Because that would just, you'd be like going along feeling really good about things, and then, oh, everybody died from dysentery.
Yep, everybody drank the dirty water and just pooped their guts out, and that was the end of the Oregon Trail. So there you go, Texter. You didn't think I was going to do it. But that takes me back to my days in computer class, when I used to cheat in computer class. I don't know if you ever had to take computer class, Chase. But I did, and you know, they try to teach you how to type without looking, so they put a piece of paper over your hand, and you try to type as fast as you can, and when the teacher wasn't looking, I'd lift up the paper and go, chick-a-chick-a-chick-a-chick. So my words per minute were quite good. Anyway, so let me have you answer the question I had Easton Freeze and our listeners answer before the break. Rookies reported to Titans training camp today. Of course, first and foremost is Carnell Tate. So finish this sentence for me, Chase. Carnell Tate's rookie season will be considered successful if...
Ooh, that is a good question. I would say if he has 800 yards.
Okay. Well, see, what's interesting is I was just reading.
I don't think he has to have 1,000. I mean, you'd want him to, but with Robinson and everybody else on the team, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed, as they say. But I mean, I think if he has an 800 yard season his rookie year, that's pretty good.
His ESPN fantasy projection is 78 receptions on 127 targets, 1,068 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
Okay.
And right.
Well, they're thinking a little higher then.
I do think I hear what you're saying about, you know, let's set the barometer at 800 yards. We had Nick Suss on the show yesterday, and he said that there have been a lot of comparisons made between Carnell Tate and T. Higgins. Derek himself has routinely mentioned T. Higgins when he watches Carnell Tate. But Suss said yesterday, if you're drafting a wide receiver number 4 overall, you're hoping for more than T. Higgins. And T. Higgins is a very good receiver. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah, he'd be a number 1 on another team probably.
Yes. I just think that I remember how I felt when the Titans announced they were drafting Carnell Tate. Quite frankly, I was surprised. I remember Derek, as we were talking about all of the possibilities before the first round of the NFL draft, I and Willie and Derek, like I'm sure you did as well, Chase, a lot of us talked about Jeremiah Love. We spent a ton of time talking about Jeremiah Love. We talked about some of the other defensive players. We talked about Sonny Styles. We really didn't spend that much time on Carnell Tate. And I remember Derek saying that he wouldn't draft Carnell Tate with the number 4 overall pick. But it happened, and I know fans are excited about it. It's much easier to get excited about a skill player being drafted that high. And I know that there are going to be huge expectations on him, even if we should probably be more modest in our expectations. But you know how this works, Chase. No one's going to be modest about their expectations.
No, none at all. And I think I was sitting there with Derek when –
Right, you were doing the draft show, yeah.
We were doing the draft show, and we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, okay. And I think now, you know, how much of that was disappointment because we had all just gotten our hearts, and I knew this was going to happen, that we had gotten our hearts set on Love, and we couldn't find Love, and it didn't happen. You know, so were we more disappointed in that than we were of them taking Tate, or did we think it was not a good pick? Now, I ultimately feel like, you know, 4th was probably too high for him, but I could be wrong. I mean, look, another Ohio State receiver just a couple of years ago went 4th overall.
Marvin Harrison.
And look, I think people are probably disappointed in him to this point. Now, granted, he's with the Arizona Cardinals, but what did you say the fantasy projections were?
ESPN, 78 receptions on 127 targets, 1,068 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Okay, so for reference, you know, Arizona, his rookie year, he was targeted 116 times, 62 catches, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns.
I would take that. If you told me that was Carnell Tate's stat line from his rookie season, I would take that, particularly the touchdowns. So some of our listeners have some pretty modest expectations as well. Jared from Spring Hill says, just avoiding injury is all I want. Jerry says Carnell Tate's season will be a success if he doesn't suffer a season-ending injury, a concussion, and if he catches between 50 and 75 balls. Another texter says, if he stays healthy. And look, you're setting the bar low, right? If you set the bar low, you can't be disappointed. But I have higher hopes than, well, he just needs to get through the season unscathed. Let's go to our phone line and bring in Matt. Matt, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just real quick, I'm not going to put any numbers on him because everything is not.
Matt, we lost you. Call back. I was on pins and needles.
I wanted to hear that too.
Matt, call us right back. By the way, the texter who asked me about the Oregon Trail said, thanks for the update. You were right. I didn't think you would give one. I mean, if you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Josh says, that's funny. I used to love playing Oregon Trail too. Did you ever play Carmen Sandiego? Did I ever play Carmen Sandiego? Come on. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Of course I played Carmen Sandiego. What kind of question is that, Josh? Matt, call us back because I do want to hear your answer on Carnell Tate. The news right as we came on the air, Chase, J.C. Latham placed on the physically unable to perform list to open training camp, along with Amani Hooker. It sounds like, according to Easton Freeze, who was just sitting here, and Paul Kaharsky, that these are short-term injuries that won't keep either player on the field for long stretches of time. But I'm sure when Titans fans saw J.C. Latham on the PUP list, they probably went, oh, God, this is not good. So Frazier went as far as to say, I'm ready to pull the plug on J.C. Latham. I was like, he hasn't even gotten on the field yet for year three. But what were your thoughts on the news of Latham?
Well, I'll answer that. And then I got a couple more thoughts on receiver, if you don't mind. But I think J.C. Latham has to prove something in year three. I didn't freak out. I saw that and I was like, huh, that's interesting. But then I saw Paul's report first that doesn't look like they'll be out very, very long. So it just is kind of one of those formalities that you have to have at this point in the season. But I'm not ready to pull the plug on him. But if he has a bad year, and I do think he kind of got better as the year went on, but the team was so bad, people didn't really notice that. But it's kind of funny, once the Callahans left, a few position groups actually got better. But I think if he doesn't show he can be the without a doubt, unquestioned right tackle on this team, that they got a major problem.
Let's go back to Matt, who has called back. Matt, thank you for calling back. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry about that. Well, I'll just start over. I cannot give like any projections about how Carnell Tate can do, because the roster is not equal. What I mean by that is the offensive line is the one who's going to determine on how well the other parts go on this offense. If they're going to keep getting blown up at the offensive line, where Cam has to scramble, Cam has very little time to throw, read reads, the pros of the cornerbacks are going to jam him. It's just going to be bad news. And you're going to say, well, why isn't he catching the ball? Why isn't he doing this, that, and the other? He's a bust. No, because you have a bad offensive line, and this offensive line is not going to get better. So people got to realize that 3-14 is what you're going to get this year. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's what's going to happen this year with the Tennessee Titans.
Thank you, man.
You just don't have a roster to compete.
So you don't think this roster is improved from last year?
No, not at all. I mean, if you look at the points of improvement, was after the season was lost, And when you were in game, the score separated when you needed to make plays the most. And you didn't do it. All the time, the Tennessee Titans got behind and couldn't catch up.
Well, I understand, so, but you've also had free agency in a draft, and I think they've brought in some better players. I'm not saying it's completely better across the board, but I mean, and thanks for the call. But I mean, I
thank you, Matt.
I think it's hard to say that, at least on paper, this isn't a better roster than last year, because I think it is a better roster than last year. Now they have to prove it, and you have in my opinion, a more competent coaching staff, but. Obviously we have to see the games.
I think I can try to thread the needle here. The Titans roster on paper, I believe, looks better than it did at this time last year as they were preparing to open training camp. But even with those improvements, I still think this is one of the weaker overall rosters in the NFL.
That's fair.
It's sort of the same conversation.
It's not deep.
No, it's sort of the same conversation Willie and I were having last week after The Athletic said that the Predators had the best offseason in the NHL in terms of the value added by the players they brought in. Well, the reason why the Predators were number one on that list is because the players that are on there or who have been sent away were pretty bad, sub-replacement level by some measure. So even though the Predators had, quote-unquote, the best offseason by value added with the acquisitions, it's still probably a league average, slightly below average roster. That's what I would say about the Titans. I agree with you. The Titans roster is better. I think it's better at wide receiver. I think the defense is better, particularly in the secondary. But overall, if you're rating rosters, you're going to probably put the Titans somewhere between 25, from 25 down.
And that's fair. But to Matt's point, and Joe says this on our show all the time, you just got to be better than three other teams,
really,
right now. And I think looking at the AFC South as a whole, I don't really know what it is. So, are they closer than maybe we think they are? But again, it's all going to come down to, can Cam Ward have time to throw, which means the offensive line. And if he does have time to throw, can he make accurate throws? And can these receivers that they've brought in, make plays? Because if they can, then it's going to be really interesting to watch. And this was the point I was going to make of, Wandale Robinson hit 1,000 yards for the first time in his career last year on 92 receptions. All right. Are you going to throw to him 92 times, target him 140 times when you have the fourth overall pick that you brought in here? Probably not. Is Calvin Ridley going to, maybe not get back to what he was in 2024 where he had over 1,000 yards, but, somewhere in that where he can be better for you? Elik Iomanner is a 23-year-old receiver. Are they going to – they targeted him 89 yards. Are they going to give him more targets? They could have a good problem where they don't have enough, footballs to go around. And, oh, by the way, Gunnar Helm's going to factor into this too now as the starting tight end. So that's what I'm going to be interested to see. But it all kind of comes back to Matt's point. If the offensive line can't be better, then all this is a moot point, because then Cam's just not going to have time. He's going to be running for his life.
One texter, Matthew, says, here is my offensive line ranking by position for the Titans. Left tackle, okay. Left guard, good. Center, WTF. Right guard, WTF. Right tackle, eh. I think that's a fair assessment. One texter, Benjamin, says, they are a couple of injuries away from being a bottom three team. The cornerbacks and running back room scare me. And that's my point. I mean, the Titans are still a team that is devoid of talent. The expectations are still low. I think the over-under win total is, 6.5, which would be great for the Titans considering they've won 6 total games over the past 2 seasons. But even with that was the point I was making before. Even with improvements, if you say, hey, the wide receivers are better, the defensive line is better, the secondary is better, even so, the Titans were starting so far back that even if you make significant improvement, I'm not sure I would call it significant improvement, but even if you make significant improvement, you're still a bottom third roster, which leaves very little margin for error. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans as they prepare for training camp. First practice is less than a week away. Rookies reported today. You can also answer this question on Carnell Tate. Carnell Tate's rookie season will be considered successful if you finish that sentence for us. 615-737-1025. But as we've been doing this week, in honor of Connor Newt, who is not with us today, we wrap up the show by playing the game that's sweeping the station and one day the nation. Where are they now? We do that next. Ooh, nice. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Adam Vingan, Chase McCabe here with you. A big thank you to Chase, Nick Frazier, and Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports for joining me on the DVD Variety Show today. The V today also stands for Variety, as well as Vingan. Tomorrow, Connor Newt will be back. Teron Davenport will be live in studio with us from 4 to 5 as we continue previewing Titans training camp. Chase, I do want to get your reaction to one thing quickly, because I think this happened after you went off the air on your program. The Baltimore Ravens waived Diego Pavia before the start of training camp. What are your thoughts on that and the future for Pavia?
I mean, I heard you guys talking about it at the very beginning. I think he'll probably land with another team. I would need to go look and see who, you know, might be short at quarterback. But look, it was a great story here. I just don't think he's an NFL quarterback. And so, you know, the question would be, is he willing to go play in Canada? I mean, look, the Arena League would be so much fun to watch him. He would be a perfect Arena League quarterback with his skill set and what he could do. So whether it was, you know, AF1 or the IFL, you know, one of these indoor leagues, he could be fantastic in that. But it's all about what, you know, he wants to do. I do think that another team will probably pick him up. And like, I can't remember if it was you or Nick that made the point, but maybe the Ravens are doing him a favor. They realize like, hey, you know what? One of our three or four best quarterbacks. Let's just go ahead and release you now. That gives you a chance to jump on with somebody before camp opens next week.
One texter on our Carnell Tate question. Carnell Tate's rookie season will be considered successful if, one texter says, he has 900 receiving yards and 70 receptions. I think that is a fair estimate for Carnell Tate, and we will be watching Carnell Tate very closely. Josh says, Diego Pavia to the Cats. I mean, that's what Chase just said. He can come on back to Nashville, more specifically Clarksville, but he can come back to Middle Tennessee and play for the Cats. So, to wrap up the show this week, because Connor's been sitting in with me, with Willie and Derek on vacation, we've been playing the game that, as I've been saying all week, is sweeping the station and one day the nation. It's called Where Are They Now? And in case you haven't had the opportunity to play Where Are They Now, here are the rules. Choose an athlete, active or retired, from one of the four major sports leagues, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL. You list their career path. First person to guess the correct player wins the point. So I'm going to start because I already picked a player during the break, and Brandon Bigsby is going to play with us too. And of course, because it's me, I am starting in the National Hockey League. Here we go. Anaheim Ducks, Vancouver Canucks, Pittsburgh Penguins, Nashville Predators, Minnesota Wild, San Jose Sharks, Pittsburgh Penguins, New York Rangers.
Ooh.
Could it be Nick Bonino?
Yeah.
It is Bonino.
Okay. I should have jumped on it because that's what I was thinking.
Good one, Brandon. All right, who's got one next? Chase or Brandon?
I'll go.
Okay.
I'll let you pick what league.
Let's go with the NBA.
The NBA. All right. Memphis Grizzlies. Houston Rockets, back to Memphis, Miami Heat.
Grizzlies, Rockets, Grizzlies, Heat?
Yep.
Grizzlies, Rocket, Grizzlies, Heat.
I think I might have this one. Is it Shane Battier?
Oh, I was going to say Battier.
from Duke.
Yes.
It is Shane Battier.
It is Battier. Well All done, right, Brandon. Brando. Brandon's quick on the trigger today. All right, Brandon. You got one?
I do. All right, we're going to go back to the ice for this one. This player played for four NHL teams, the Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators, the Washington Capitals, and most recently, the San Jose Sharks.
The Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators, the Washington Capitals, and the San Jose Sharks.
He is retired.
He is retired. Okay. Hmm.
Wild. You said Wild, Predators, Wild, Capitals.
And Sharks, yeah.
It's not Mikhail Granlund. It's not Devin Dubnyk. It's not Scott Hannon. All right, hold on. I'm
blanking.
I'll give a hint. This player was recently hired to be a head coach in the AHL.
Recently hired to be a head coach in the AHL. Oh, wait. Oh, it's Joel Ward.
It is Joel Ward.
Yes.
Really? Wardo.
Yes, Joel Ward, now the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights AHL team, the Henderson Silver Knights.
Good for Wardo.
Yes, he's... I always knew he had head coaching in his future. All right, here we go.
I liked him.
I'll go to the NFL. New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints.
Jeez.
New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints. He is an active player.
Two stints on the Jets. God bless him.
Well, the second stint was only one season.
Oh.
Started his career with the Jets, made a pit stop with the Browns and the Jets, and then to the Saints. If you let me know if you need the college or the position. Well, the position I might give it away. I can give you the college.
I could use the college.
Arkansas college. State.
Arkansas State. And he's with the Saints now?
Most recently.
Almost recently.
He did play last season. Started 17 games.
So he's a free agent right now then.
I need to see if he's actually signed. Let's see. It looks like he went back to the Jets for a third time.
Oh, God.
He is, again, a member of the New York Jets. So Jets, Browns, Jets, Saints, and now back with the Jets. One texter's got it. Chase, any other guesses?
Is it... No, it's not Gino.
I think both of you will go, oh, when you hear it.
Is it, I don't know.
DeMario Davis.
Oh, wow. I never think of him as a Jet. He always comes off the same to me.
He's
been there three times.
He played for the Jets from 2012 to 2015, played for the Browns in 2016, played with the Jets in 2017, played with the Saints from 2018 through 2025, and now is back with the Jets.
Good Lord.
Yes.
God bless him.
DeMario Davis. All right, who wants to go next? By the way, Josh says, Adam, you can't keep saying it's not and the player's name until you get it right. That's cheating. I guess that's probably true. I should probably stop doing that. All right, who wants to go next?
I got one.
All right.
All right, this is the NFL.
Okay, NFL.
Buffalo Bill, and I'm going to make this a little harder because I'm giving you practice squad too, but here you go.
Practice squad?
Well, just all teams this person played for.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, Philadelphia Eagles, Berlin Thunder, Panthers, back to the Eagles, Redskins, Giants, Cardinals.
Tim Hasselbeck.
Damn you. I thought I could stump you.
Is that right?
Berlin gave it Berlin
the
gave it
Thunder
away,
gave it away because I'm mad at Tim. I'm mad at Tim because in his setup for ESPN, I think he has two Ensworth helmets now, and he replaced the Berlin Thunder helmet, and I'm very disappointed. Europe erasure as far as I'm concerned. You need to be proud of that. All right.
All right, well done.
Brandon, you got one?
I do. We're going to go back to the hardwood for this one. All right, this player has played for the Sacramento Kings, the Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards, the Memphis Grizzlies, then back to the Wizards, then the Dallas Mavericks, and most recently just signed with the Denver Nuggets.
Is that is that my guy Marvin Bagley?
It is Marvin Bagley.
Ah, yeah. Marvin Bagley. There it is. Another dookie. All right. Let's see. All right. I'll go. Let me pull up a player. Let me pull up another hockey player. All right. Let me see. I got to find a good one here who's been around. All right. Let's see here. All right. This one could be tough. Buffalo Sabres, New York Islanders, Montreal Canadiens, Minnesota Wild, Detroit Red Wings, Florida Panthers, Vancouver Canucks, Columbus Blue Jackets, Detroit Red Wings.
So he's covered about the entire Atlantic Division.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. He played for 8 teams over a 14-year career.
Okay.
He last played in 2019. He played for the Red Wings during the 2018-19 season.
This is going to be some fourth-line grinder or third-line defenseman.
He's had 2 40-goal seasons on his resume. Oh, so don't be so sure.
Okay.
Don't be so sure.
Can you give the teams one more time?
Yes. All right, hold on. Let me refresh the page. Buffalo, New York Islanders, Montreal, Minnesota, Detroit, Florida, Vancouver, Columbus, Detroit.
Columbus. I feel like I can see that, like, when you say it, I'm probably going to be like, oh.
We actually received a text from Connor who says, you can't use process of elimination. If they don't get it, they don't get it. A direct message from the creator. All right, I'll stop doing that. All right, any guesses?
I'm stumped.
Chase?
I'm going to say Thomas Vanek.
Good for you, Chase McCabe.
That was a good pull.
Really?
Thomas Vanek is correct.
Wow. Okay.
Very impressive. All right, we've got time for one more.
That was a shot in the dark.
That was a very good guess. All right, we've got time for one more. Who wants to go?
I got one. I got a hockey one.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right. Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto. Florida. Nashville.
Colorado, Calgary, Toronto, Florida, Nashville.
Is he an active player?
He is not.
All right, let me confirm the teams again. Colorado, Calgary, Toronto, Florida, Nashville.
Yep.
Olli Jokinen.
Nope.
Oh, but I feel like he played for those teams. All right.
He may have, but that's not the one.
Oh, man. That stinks. That was a good one.
You want it?
Am I allowed to take another guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see here. Okay, I'm trying to think here. I'm not going to do the thing I did before. Is it Wade Belak?
The late, great Wade Belak.
All right. Well
done. That's a good one.
All right. Good game, everybody. Good game.
That was fun.
All right, Chase, thank you for hopping in. A big thank you to Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier, Easton Freeze, Brandon Bigsby. It was indeed a variety show on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick today. Connor Newt will be back with me tomorrow to wrap up the week. Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, will be with us during the 4 o'clock hour as we once again look ahead to Titans training camp. Derek Mason isn't here, but I will say, on behalf of Derek Mason, be loved. Love on your people. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Peace.